Well, good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for August 10th, 2014. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. Well, last weekend we were in Chicago. Adrian and I left on Friday, came back on Sunday for an in-and-out business trip. Longtime family friend passed away. He was only 67. And the family asked me to do the service because of our long family connections. And he was a very prominent member of the community, Japanese American community in Chicago. And he had bladder cancer, and he had suffered quite a bit for the last 10 years or so, and I had a chance to talk to him about a week before he passed away, and he was saying, "Wow, this is a reality of life." But, you know, I said, "Well, yeah, this is a reality with a capital R." He said, "Yeah, that's right." And this is one thing that I sort of took away, personal teaching, maybe a teaching gift from him to me, I could put it that way, is this capital R reality. Because of that, then one's individual life, we should live it with a capital L life. So that's a gift of a teaching I received with strong impact about capital R for reality and capital L for life. And it was interesting because Saturday morning, the service wasn't until 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon. Saturday morning, the family had put us up in the Orrington Hotel in Evanston, and that was very nice because we could walk to the lakefront, which we did on Saturday morning. You know, nothing like taking a quiet walk on a weekend morning, and the weather was very pleasant in Chicago. Once in 20 years, it's going to be in the 70s, usually it's at least in the high 80s this time of year in Chicago. So everybody was enjoying the nice, cool weather. And we walked around the lakefront, a lot of new construction on the Northwestern University campus. We used to walk there quite a bit for sunrise walks along the lakefront. So we revisited that area. And in fact, we went to take a look at, there's a section along the lakefront, a lot of jumbled concrete boulders were piled there a long time ago as a water break. And the students, college students, have painted things on these rocks. There may be about, the rocks are like 3 feet square of cubes. All rough shapes, all jumbled up, and people have painted a lot of different things that college students would do. And before we left Chicago, I had a friend, and we painted the Bright Dawn Center's Bodhi leaf with the sunrise inside of it, the logo. I sent his logo onto a rock that was about 3 feet square surface that's facing east. Lake Michigan, the sun rises over Lake Michigan. Chicago is on the western edge of Lake Michigan. So everybody in Chicago knows It's one major orientation landmark. The lake is to the east. And that's why we used to go there. It's nice to see a sunrise come over the lake. And so we went to look for that rock. Because a friend of mine, a month or so ago, had written me and said that she was going for an early morning bike ride, and she went searching for that rock, and after a good amount of searching, she found it. So I remembered that, and this lady and I looked around, and we had a little hard time, but finally we found it. And we acquainted ourselves with the local landmarks there, and I'm sure we could find it much easier next time if we ever go looking for it. And it's deteriorated quite a bit, but it's still recognizable, and it's facing east, and it's still giving the morning sunrise. That was very nice. Well, I'd like to introduce today's guest to give us a Dharma glimpse. This is Roger Sayo. Lives in Florida, and he was part of May 2013's LM5 class. He and his wife, Dorothy Merrick, went through the lay program together. It was very nice. And let's hear what Roger Sayo has to share with us this morning.
I've been participating in a study group on compassion at the local Unitarian Church. We've been reading Karen Armstrong's book, 12 Steps to a Compassionate Life. As a Buddhist, I thought I had an understanding of compassion. But in discussing this with a group of 20 other people over a four-month period, it's really shown me how compassion is at the heart of the three treasures, the Buddha, the Dharma, and Sangha. And here's my Dharma glimpse, that we all need compassion. We all benefit from being compassionate. And that compassion is really something we can only practice with other people. But what's more surprising than this is the truth in the statement, when the student is ready, the teacher arises. My teacher on compassion now is a Bangladeshi couple. This spring, before starting the discussion of the 12 steps, I met a young man who's taught me a lot about compassion. He and his wife arrived in Jacksonville, Florida from Bangladesh at the start of this year. They were fleeing fundamentalist Islamists in that country who were trying to kill him. He was harassed on the internet by Islamic fundamentalists infiltrating his website and destroying posts and destroying the work he did as an IT consultant. And then he was twice attacked by someone trying to stab him with a knife. He and his wife were able to leave Bangladesh, and they came to the U.S. in hope of gaining asylum. I met Omar when he came to the local Zen sitting group that I hold weekly here in Jacksonville. He came because he felt there was something he would benefit from in meditation, or what we might call a spot, a special place of tranquility. He was looking for something to help in his difficult time. It was at the end of his first night of meditation after everyone left that Omar told me his story privately. Omar has never expressed anger for being forced to flee his country. After filing for asylum last month, he can't work until his appeal is considered. So he and his wife have no income. All their money they brought with them has been spent down. They've survived by living with a sister in a roach-infested apartment and by getting food from a local food bank. So I introduced Omar to the local Unitarian minister where I hold his men sitting group. The minister was very concerned about their situation and introduced them to the congregation. A special collection was taken up to help them while they wait for news on their asylum request. Almost $3,000 was donated to help them over the next few months until October. What started as a search by Omar for the peace that Buddhism offered has turned into a joint effort between our small Buddhist sitting group and our host UU congregation, that allows us all to express our concern and caring for this family. Most surprising to me is that while Omar and Nazia receive assistance that they need from the congregation and from others, they've become a field of merit for many others who are able to express their concern and compassion in a way that is not pity and doesn't imply that the donors are in some way better than those that they help, but rather that we are all part of a larger community, and that the simple existence of a community means that we all help each other. This is compassion. I've learned a lot about a part of the world I barely knew existed, more about Islam and the diverse understandings of Islam than I would ever have known. This has broadened my understanding of the complex world we live in. And this is the fundamental part of Buddhism. We are all connected together. As Reverend Koyo teaches us, Buddhism gives us a broad view. Broad view shows that an opportunity to give is, at the same time, an opportunity to receive. Compassion thrives on both. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Opportunity to give is also an opportunity to receive. I'm just jotting that down. I like that. You know, another thing that I learned over the past weekend, I overheard this being shared, and I think it relates to the Dharma Glimpse about compassion being at the heart of the three treasures, and that we're all connected. Can help each other. You know, compassion, I remember hearing a Buddhist speaker once, she said that compassion, calm, C-O-M, means together, community, you know, and passion is emotions and feelings and, well, if you want to say, emotions, especially difficult emotions, suffering. Passion means to suffer together. It doesn't mean necessarily helping a stronger helping a weaker, because sometimes we can't really help. We'll do all we can, but right at the root or motivation or empathy for such sharing, it can result in, you know, actions of dana or sharing, is that empathy. That has to be there. We're all together. And so even when you cannot really help someone who is suffering, you could hold hands, you could cry together, you could show that you understand the situation, okay? Maybe not as directly as the one who was actually experiencing it, but because we're human beings, we have some idea, okay, of that communality. Without that kind of empathy, there's no compassion, because, and then I remember this from psychology classes, when you talk about helpers, people who help those who need help in society. And this point being made here was that there are certain groups in society that get taken advantage of. What are some of these groups? Well, older people, young children, convicts, these are all do not have their own power. And someone else has influence over them. Older people, because of their reduce cognitive capacity, young children, the adults and parents dictate things to them, and overt convicts, they're incarcerated, and the guards in the prison system control them, and maybe sick people or mentally ill people or another group and so forth. And sometimes we might say, you know, if you need compassionate caretakers for these groups. But at the same time, people being human beings, if there is no wider view, in the environment that has teeth into it, there's some accountability, some kind of system that says, that helps people to keep that empathy. Because no matter how well-intentioned someone might be, if they don't get some kind of a structural or feedback in the system, then the most well-intentioned caretaker can get sloppy, can get sort of jaded, can get sort of just used to the situation, and then that could lead to sort of indifference, and then it could even lead to abusive taking advantage. And because this is sort of a natural tendency, okay, that could happen by where guards start to abuse the prisoners, adults, abuse children or older people in nursing homes. And because of this, I'm not talking now about a societal problem. I'm talking about individual spiritual growth. Taking all this into consideration is leading me to a bodhisattva vow. A bodhisattva is a truth seeker who does not just want enlightenment for himself, but for everyone. He wants to be, lead a compassionate life. Help others if he can and have the empathy. See all things as teachers. Sort of the vow would be like common one would be, you will not have complete enlightenment until all beings are led. Sort of like he's on the fence. He's coming out of, on one side of the fence is the samsara world. You know, on the other side of the fence is the nirvana or the pure land. And he's climbed over the fence. He's on top of the fence, but he doesn't go to the Buddha land. He stays there and he helps. Okay, he returns to a saha world and he pledges to help. It's that easy. Because sometimes, without knowing it, our bodhisattva intention is self-serving or becomes egotistical, or it becomes, you know, without empathy, it becomes an ego trip. Oh, I know this. I can help these people. And it becomes a to a lower, to the haves, to the have-nots, and not the strong empathy. And this is why, even though there are all kinds of conceptualization or models of bodhisattva vows, okay, or 48 vows in some sutras and so forth, this past weekend I ran across a statement that I will always remember. And whenever we talk about bodhisattva vows, I'm going to say, we only need one bodhisattva vow. And that vow is, I vow to save all sentient beings.
from myself. Wow, there it is. From myself. See? This is where you don't become a preacher. You don't become, you know, this is really showing the oneness, the compassion that we're really talking about. I've ought to save all sentient beings from myself.
That's so great.
That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you have a very beautiful, wonderful day. Thank you.